The first Tuesday of the month, and that means it is time for Focus on Education with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. Dr. Jones, good morning. Welcome. Happy New Year. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and Happy New Year to you and anybody who's listening.
All right, fantastic. All right, so we're back to school, right, today. Any feel for how things are going so far?
You know, I think the first few months of school have been absolutely fabulous and just a high level of energy. You know, our teachers are doing amazing work. When you're out in the classrooms, you see a high level of engagement. You know, there's just been so many things to celebrate in the first few months, so we're excited to be back today.
All right, and kids a little bleary-eyed after having the week and a day off?
I don't think bleary-eyed. I think, you know, a lot of people probably had a really good rest, resting up for the spring and then getting through the winter and the spring. And, you know, I think we're excited to be back. Generally, even the students, you'd be amazed. They're just, you know, it's always nice to have a day or two off, but they're excited to come back, be with their friends, and be in their school community.
All right, so we turned the corner on the first half of the year, so to speak. Now we move down kind of the home stretch of the 2022-2023 school year. So what do you look forward to over the next few months?
You know, over the next few months, I think it's just continuing on the goals that we set at the very beginning of the year to continue to offer high-quality instruction in every single classroom across the district in an engaging way that, you know, makes students want to learn and want to be at school. And I think that's, you know, when you see our classrooms, that's what you see happening. There's a really great instruction happening out in our classrooms.
All right. Board of Education just recently voted in new officers, including a new chairman, Joe Kelly. Your thoughts?
Absolutely delighted. Congratulations to Chair Joe Kelly and Vice Chair Christina Downey. You know, we've been really fortunate, and I can say that as I'm in my fourth year, and that we've had a really cohesive board for the most part that really works well together. You know, and I think this vote, by the way that the board voted, really demonstrated there was a unanimous vote for the chair, that we're going to continue on that pathway. And also Karen Hirsch is going to remain as secretary, and she does a terrific job. And, you know, if you don't mind, I would like to just take a minute and say also a very special thanks to our outgoing chair, Kathleen Stowe. You know, to be chair of the Board of Education is such an enormous commitment, just not only just in the time that they spend, but also in just being a listener to the issues and what those important issues are. And I think she has led in one of the most challenging times when we've had a lot of capital projects, challenges, as well as operating budget. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Vice Chair Karen Kowalski, who's worked incredibly hard on behalf of the board as well. And I think Kathleen and Karen are probably going to both enjoy a little bit more time with their families.
Okay, great. And the board, as you mentioned, was unanimous after deadlocking a couple times and avoided having to send it to the Board of Selectmen to decide. How important is that to you?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, that's a function of the Board of Education. You know, I work for all eight of them, and I don't really get into the role of who gets elected and who doesn't, and I find out when the public finds out. So I'm just really thrilled, and that, once again, I think our Board of Education has shown that they really are in partnership.
All right, so new board officers and moving forward now with that. All right, now when's the next meeting?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's I want to say the 16th, but I would have to double check.
Okay, so it's probably next week or the week after. All right. With the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, this is Focus on Education here on WGCH. All right, we're promised by board chair or emeritus or whatever board chair Kathleen Stowe and incoming chair Joe Kelly that there would be an update on soil remediation at Western Middle School. Give us that update if you can.
Absolutely. And I will correct myself. Our next meeting is the 19th. So, okay. It's always on a Thursday, unless there's another reason. So, Western Middle School soil remediation, we are so excited to be at this point. You know, the project, really, the initial discovery of contaminant happened back in 2016. And it's, you know, we've had two generations of students who have gone through Western Middle School while we've been working on this project. And you know, we are finally at the point where we're having our public hearing on January 11th, It will start at 6 o'clock at Western Middle School. And for those individuals who may be pressed for time, but you know how important this project is and you want to make a showing, you can either come from 6 to 7, 6:45 to 7-ish, and that's more of a free-flowing time where the regulators, AECOM and Langen, who are the two contractors working on this for us, will all be at tables. They'll have maps set up where they can really answer individual questions for that people may have as you move around the room. From 6:45 to 7, we'll start assembling in the actual auditorium, and there will be a brief overview by the contractors to really show a little bit about the project and make sure everybody has a good understanding. And then the public comment portion will start, and there will literally be a sign-up sheet where people can sign up when they come in and get their minutes at the podium to not only comment, but if they have a specific question that they want to ask the regulators, certainly that's a great time to do it. And, again, AECOM and Langen will both be there, and we are excited to be at that point. This is the next really big step in this project.
Do you expect that this may be kind of a vent session, because of 6-7 years of not being able to get their kids on the playgrounds, on the fields?
You know, I really hope not. I hope this is really positive in that the regulators are here to really listen and say whether we support the project, because it is remediating soil contamination. And, they want to make sure that the community supports the remediation plan that has been put together where individuals are going to feel like their children are on, a safe field. And so that's what they really, really need to hear. And I hope that as a community, we'll kind of put that positive energy in that direction so that they're hearing what they need to hear in order for us to get a shovel in the ground.
Now, aside from the public hearing, what's the latest in the process of doing this work? What's the latest at the fields?
Well, this public process is the next big step right now. And then once they hear from the community and the public, and there's also an email address that we've pushed out as well. It's been in the paper. Once we get through all of this public portion, they have to give their final stamp of approval. And then it's basically going out to bid to get the company that's going to begin, doing this work for us and removing the soil, hauling it off, making those determinations. How's the soil going to get thrust out? Is it going to go to a train? All of those decisions have to be made, and we hope to be in that bid process kind of quickly, after we have our public hearing.
Do you know now, or will we know after this public hearing, how long it will be before the fields will be restored?
Yeah, that's a question that's really left to AECOM and Langen. They're going to work as quickly as they can, but we also have to understand that there are still things to be worked out, how the soil gets trucked in and trucked out, where the soil is actually going to go. And once we go out to bid, they'll put together a really tight plan, just like they did for the high school, so that we'll be able to communicate that, more efficiently to the public.
All right, we're going to take a break with Greenwich Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. This is School's Dr. Tony Jones, and we'll continue talking about Dr. Jones, the triple-demic, I guess it's called, or tridemic, however you want to put it, of the flu, COVID, and RSV. How's it hitting the schools?
It'll be interesting to see as we come back from the break. Over the last 2 years when we returned from winter break, we did see a spike. We had more cases going into break this year than we did last year. So we're expecting to see it go up. There was a lot of travel, being around extended family, and it's to be expected. Over the holiday, the Connecticut, actually our local Greenwich Public Health Department, put out a really great communication, just letting us know this is to be anticipated and to watch for, symptoms and stay home if you're not feeling well and not feeling healthy, cover your cough, all of those things that we should be doing. But in the school environment, we have, a lot of individuals, and you're coming from many, many different environments coming together. So it's to be expected we will probably see a spike.
Right. Okay. And is the COVID-19 tracker still, is it still there?
It is, actually, and you register for it if you still want to see it. Of course, some people don't want to look at it. Some people really look at it faithfully. It's not every single day like it used to be, and you do get a weekly update. So certainly if people want to look at that, it's out there and it's available.
Okay. And has there been a lot of people or a lot of students or even teachers missing time because of any of these illnesses?
We definitely have had absenteeism. I don't know that it's been any higher than it was last year because, really, these three, influenza, COVID, and RSV, really started spiking right before the holiday. So we will be watching absenteeism very closely as we return because, obviously, you know, having enough substitutes to cover all of our classes is critically important.
Right. All right, let's continue with another topic. Magnet, I think we talked about this with Lauren Rabin, who was acting first selectman last week. Magnet school application and open houses, that's coming up?
It is coming up, and we're excited about that. You know, the magnet school information, guidelines, application, they're all available on the Greenwich Public School website, and there is an online submission, so it's really easy to do. The deadline to submit for one of the magnet schools is February 1st, and we have our four elementary schools. We have Hamilton Avenue, International School at Dundee, Julian Curtis, and New Lebanon. So four great options, and with programming, it's very unique.
And each of those schools has a different theme, do they not?
They do. At Hamilton Avenue, they're focused on the theme. At International School of Dundee, they are an international baccalaureate school, which is, at that level, it's called the primary years program, highly recognized not only across the United States, but in the world. And Julian Curtis is a world language school, and it's our only elementary where students take Spanish and they can take French. And then their feeder school, which is Central, also offers French at the middle school level, right at sixth grade, at an advanced level so that they can continue on from elementary. And then New Lebanon is also an international baccalaureate school. And at New Lebanon, it's our brand new school building as well. But they also have a bilingual program, which a lot of people don't realize exists inside that school. And they also utilize some of those same AVID strategies that are utilized at Western Middle School. So four fantastic options for parents. And I might say one thing about New Lebanon, just because I'm on that one. It is one of the elementaries where they're still 100% able to offer no cost for lunches and breakfast. So that's a benefit for many of the families that will continue in New Lebanon. It's a school-wide lunch program.
You mentioned that, I think, a couple of shows ago about how this the free lunch program is ending. Is that right?
It ends today, and I think educators all across the country are very disappointed that we were not able, through the USDA, to continue that because we feel like it was such a great benefit for families just all across the country. But, you know, in the end, they decided that it was time for the program to end, and so families must fill out the paperwork as of today to qualify for either free lunches or reduced-price lunches.
Okay. Now, was there a program over the Christmas and New Year's break for kids to get lunches or breakfast or something? Say their you know, because their parents are working in their home and that kind of thing. Anything like that available?
We were not running like we did during the height of COVID, where you had buses delivering. But what we have done is we continue to really connect our families with the community resources, especially filling in the blank and neighbor to neighbor, which are two enormous resources for our families. And they really help over those extended holidays to provide food in the home.
All right. Getting back to the magnet schools, I mean, these are lower, they're not high school with lower grades, but really, would you say they prepare kids for college?
Well, I think you start preparing for college. When you talk about college preparation, you know, it starts with early literacy. I mean, to be able to be successful all the way through school and then to matriculate to college, you want to be strong in literacy, strong in numeracy, and that starts from the day children enroll with us, whether that's pre-K or kindergarten. So all four of our magnet schools do a terrific job in You know, they really are focused on helping students be successful. And I will say, too, I think one thing that's fantastic about them is, you know, three of the four are very, very strong in dual language programs, which when we talk about preparation for college and work ready, being able to speak two languages is a benefit that continues to grow and grow.
Absolutely. And it also could open a pathway to a career if language is something you're interested in. I had a roommate who ended up in international a travel agency because of that. So you never know, right?
Absolutely. You know, I spent time in Northern Virginia about 5.5 years, and the number of individuals, you know, that worked for the State Department and traveled all over the world because they were dual language individuals, and many of them would go to their language school and learn a third language. And, it, you know, the opportunities were phenomenal for individuals who have that skill set.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to take another break. Speaking with All right. Dr. Jones, we come back and tell us about the science of reading. What is that?
Well, yeah, the science of reading is a very popular topic across the United States right now. I will say it's not necessarily a new topic. If you go back over, you know, the last 25 and 30 years, it really is kind of that discussion between the way that you're going to approach teaching reading. And what's really coming out right now is that it's a return to looking at the basics and the basic components of reading, and especially having a very strong phonics base, which I know many of our listeners probably grew up learning to read that way. And, you know, at the state level, the Connecticut State Department of Education had said that they were going to choose approved reading programs, and that the school districts across Connecticut by this past August would have to make a choice. And then they changed that to December. But then what happened is the five programs that they came out with, there was a big pushback in the state of Connecticut from school districts because the programs, not that, you know, they were not strong programs, but they weren't utilized by very many school districts in the state of Connecticut. So there really wasn't data to say that we were going to see great improvements if we changed to one of those programs versus what many school districts were already doing. And in Greenwich, for instance, I know our parents that have students in school right now know that we were implementing Foundations, which is a really strong phonics program, and we now have it in pre-K through grade 3, and we were adding a grade level a year. And if we had gone with one of the state programs that they were recommending, we would have had to throw all of that out. And not only that, the cost to Greenwich Public Schools, because we're a larger school district, would have been well over $1 million. So right now they've come out and said that we can put in for a waiver. We need to be able to demonstrate that we have a strong reading program that meets the areas that are required for the science of reading. And as long as we can do that, we're going to put that waiver forward. And then we're very hopeful that the state will approve what we're utilizing. And granted, we're taking the opportunity to really analyze, are we as strong in every aspect of the science of reading as we should be in how we teach comprehension, how we teach phonics? We're really looking at everything, fluency. But again, I think in Greenwich Public Schools, we've been doing some really great work. We're already working on this, you know, before it really became a focus at the national level or at the state level. So I think we're going to be in great shape and be able to continue building on what we've been doing the last couple of years.
Is it a radical change from how you and I learned to read?
It's, you know, really, it's probably more similar to how many of us learned how to read with a strong phonics program, where you're really taking words and you're learning about the individual sounds, where, you know, if you go back to the 90s, it's really when it kind of started to change in some parts of the country. I'm going to say it's not everywhere. The entire country doesn't teach reading exactly the same. But when it really started going from more hold apart and looking at chunks of words instead of individual sounds, and that changed really a lot of people. If you go back to the 90s, it was when what they called whole language was starting. And I will say, you know, as somebody who has a master's in reading, I don't think there's any perfect way to teach reading, and I think that we must always remember that every child is an individual, And there's no one technique that's perfect. And you really need to make sure that we're as thorough as possible in what we are offering and how we are teaching our children. And I think in Greenwich Public Schools, we're working really hard to offer the very best programming for our children, and especially in those early childhood years, which are so critically important.
All right, a couple of minutes left with Superintendent of Schools Dr. Tony Jones on Focus and Education. Any update on Central Middle School? The building committee continues to meet on that.
Oh, my goodness, the building committee is just hard at work. You know, we received some questions over the break that our senior staff will be hard at work this week trying to answer some questions and just to make sure we're as prepared as possible when we go in front of the BET and the RTM for the capital request in partnership with that building committee. And the next thing they really have to do is to be able to get the architect of their selection and, you know, start designing the actual building. That's a big task when you're building a brand new school. So lots of work and exciting work to come in the next few months.
And speaking of BET, you'll be appearing before them before you know it for budget issues, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, to the point that I actually said happy 2024 to somebody on New Year's, because I'm so used to saying 2023 because we've been working on the budget for months. So I, you know, we'll be in front of the BET and we'll get a lot of great questions. And I know we'll be able to answer them. And again, we came in at their guidance this year and really proud of the budget that was put forward. And the Board of Ed has moved that budget onto the BET.
But the
really to the First Elections Office first.
Yeah, the capital budget may be more of a challenge, though, right?
It could be. It could be. I mean, I'm hoping not, and that we've had a long-range plan, master plan that we've been, you know, working on for several years. And you know, the projects, really the major projects like Old Greenwich, I think it's hard to argue in this day and age, you know, against a building like Old Greenwich that doesn't have a fire suppression system, that isn't ADA accessible. We have some flooding issues in parts of the building. It needs a secure entryway. The entryway is, you know, up on the second level. So I think, you know, the project speaks for itself. And, of course, Central Middle School is a major project going forward that we know has to be done.
All right. Superintendent of Schools Dr. Tony Jones getting the 2023 calendar year underway in good form. Back to school. Thanks very much for your time this morning. Happy New Year again, and we'll talk in February.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Okay. Superintendent of Schools Dr. Tony Jones joins me first Tuesday of the month.